الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Informative pamphlets Attar's Dua O Lord of Mustafa Whoever reads or listens to this 39-page collection of informative pamphlets Forgive them without accountability and allow them to spend their life performing good deeds. Also, allow them to convey the call to righteousness far and wide. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Virtue of sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In a hadith of the final Prophet, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he once explained, there is no Muslim who recites salat upon me, except angels send salat upon him for as long as he recites. It is now up to a servant whether he increases the amount of salat he recites or decreases. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. How the carnal self, i.e. nafs, can ensnare you. Sayyid Abu Muhammad Murtaish Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, I have performed Hajj many times. On some of these occasions, I did so without any luggage or travel belongings at all. The reality of this all became evident to me eventually. I was being tricked by my nafs the entire time. I realized this when my mother once ordered for me to fill a bowl with water and bring it to her. Despite having performed Hajj many times, this instruction bore heavy on my nafs, resulting in me not wanting to do it. Hence, I realized that my nafs had only acted in accordance with my wishes this entire time, in order to enact its own desires and draw personal delight from traveling for Hajj. It had succeeded in deceiving me, because if my nafs and its desires were annihilated, it would not have found it troublesome to fulfill but a single rite of Sharia, meaning it would not have found it difficult to obey my mother. The perilous chase of worldly fame. Dear Islamic brothers, this incident highlights many important facets of discussion. Firstly, observe the beautiful mindset of our pious predecessors, Rahmatullahi alayhim, when it came to Islamic matters, as well as their incalculable degree of humbleness. On the other hand, certain people display outward humility when meeting others. Frothing with energy, they speak and carry themselves extremely well in front of them, painstakingly attempting to seem as likable as possible. These people then fall greatly short when showing the same level of decorum with their parents, brothers, sisters, children or family members. Their good conduct then goes out the window and they become aggressive, rudely hurting the hearts of anyone they interact with. Why does this happen, you may ask? The reason for this is simple. By displaying good character outside the home in public, a person becomes accepted and loved. He is subject to fame and becomes sought after. Paralleling this, displaying good character at home carries no such implicit hope of gaining fame or acceptance from the masses. Carrying these misplaced hopes within them, many people appear to be virtuous, but their reality is a stark contrast. In the same fashion, some Islamic brothers are seen striving ardently to fulfill actions that are simply liked, i.e. mustahab in Sharia, making great sacrifices to this end, yet are nowhere to be seen when it comes to the fulfilling of obligatory, i.e. farz, and necessary, i.e. wajib actions. They may be negligent in obeying their parents, raising their children in accordance with Sharia, or seeking knowledge which is obligatory upon them to learn. The account of Sayyid Abu Muhammad Murtaish rahmatullahi alayh carries many great lessons for such individuals. Due to their thirst for worldly fame, such individuals find it easy to perform any good deed which comes into public recognition or leads to them being praised by people. Suddenly, wayfaring on spiritual pathways and carrying out tremendously arduous acts of worship become easy for them, as their pursuit of fame overrides their every intention. Always remember, there is nothing but destruction in this endeavor. To further understand the gravity of this topic, two hadith of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are included hereupon. Number 1. Avoid joining the obedience of Allah with love of being praised by people, lest your deeds are thus ruined. Number 2. Two hungry wolves in a flock of sheep are not more destructive than a man's greed for wealth and fame is to his faith. Madni pearls of knowledge regarding worldly fame. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh discusses worldly fame in the third volume of his work Ihya al-Ulum. With slight additions, a summary of what he wrote is presented here upon for the reader or listener. Longing for worldly fame and ostentation are from the final matters which lead to corruption in one's nafs. The root of this is found in internal deviance and inward deception. Whether scholar or devout worshipper, all those who seek to surmount the stations of the hereafter can be afflicted with it. A person, by means of his efforts, may be able to carry out acts of worship. He may restrict himself from carnal desires and even refrain from involving himself in anything which bears the slightest doubt of being impermissible. Further, he may totally restrict his body from being used for sinful activities of any kind. Yet, he shall still reveal all of his religious achievements and good deeds to people, seeking to comfort his nafs, saying, "I have done this and that. I have given bayan here and there. I have this many dates booked for speeches. I was up late last night due to a Madani meeting, and so I am suffering from vocal fatigue. I am currently travelling with a Madani qafila. I have travelled with so many Madani qafilas, or I have been to so many places for Islamic work," and so on and so forth. By making their knowledge and actions public knowledge, they seek to be accepted by people and receive respect from them. The delight of being praised is too sweet for them to decline. When they begin attracting worldly fame, they want as much of their knowledge and actions to be displayed as possible in order to earn as much admiration from people they can. As their search for ways to exhibit their virtues and skills increases, they totally forget their generous Creator and do not suffice in regard to their Lord knowing. They do not remain satisfied with knowing Allah is watching them and He is fully aware of their actions, granting them reward in return. Instead, the yearning for worldly fame has blinded them from this. The praises of people please their hearts to no end, but they pay no attention to the praise they receive from Allah Himself. The nafs is fully aware that if people know that so and so person performs good deeds, such as rejecting his carnal desires, refraining from doubtful activities, donating abundantly in the way of Allah, striving hard in acts of worship, crying in the fear of Allah and love of His beloved, working hard to spread Islam, exhibiting impeccably good character, rectifying others in a loving manner, travelling in Madni qafilas and having others do the same, abstaining from misusing his tongue and eyes, not overeating, teaching and reading Islamic books, giving dars from Fizani Sunnat, attending Madrasatul Madina, waking others for Fajr Salah. This shall cause people to issue praise upon the doer. They shall treat him with esteem and honour. They consider meeting such a person a privilege and a means of bettering their affairs in the hereafter. They consider this person's advice to be the road to success in both worlds. This does not stop there. They may invite this person to their home or shop for blessings. Ask him to make dua, offer him food and drink, give him salam, offer their service to him, desire to eat his leftover food, strive to attain a gift from him, or even keep anything he has touched in their possession. Kiss anything he gives them, or even kiss his hands and feet. Yet again, this does not stop there. People will call upon such a person with an honorific title and appellations. They shall speak to him softly out of respect. Ask him for dua with humility. Stand for him when he enters a gathering. Seat him at a place of distinction. Fold their hands in front of him. Not begin eating before him. Present him with gifts. Consider themselves to be such a person's servant or inferior to him. Offer him discounts in business matters. Give him luxurious things at a low cost or completely free. Or out of respect, lower themselves in every matter when dealing with him. The display of such affection from the masses is indeed something from which the nafs draws exceedingly great delight, which overpowers every other desire. When a person is subject to such respect and adored by people, it then becomes misleadingly simple for them to avoid sins. The pursuit of worldly fame has meant their nafs instead of advising towards sin as usual. Will now recommend avoiding sin entirely. This is because by committing sins in public, a person will lose the false position of respect he has earned from people, and thus lose his fame. He who obeys his nafs in this regard shall weather extreme difficulties to carry out acts of worship and find the sought-after quality and steadfastness suddenly available to him. He possesses internal cognizance of his desires and the delight brought about from being an object of affection, mistakenly assuming that he has lived his life for Allah and sought his pleasure therein. In reality, he has lived his life in pursuit of hidden desires, yearning for worldly fame and to please his nafs, a delusion in which even the soundest of minds cannot comprehend. He considers himself a pious worshipper and someone who refrains from haram. With the false pretenses he has adorned himself with, he draws personal delight from everything previously mentioned. The great fame and respect he experiences is something which pleases him to no end. The reward of worship and good deeds then goes to waste, and such a person is recorded as a hypocrite, whereas he considers himself in close proximity to Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 39 intentions before speaking to someone on the phone or in person. Make a few of these intentions according to your respective situation. Number 1. I will keep my gaze lowered as much as possible. Number 2. I will give salam first with good intentions. Number 3. I shall reply to the salam I am greeted with. Number 4. I shall recite Sallu alal Habib Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 5. I intend to inquire about the health of the person I meet. Number 6. When asked how I am, I intend to praise Allah in response. Number 7. I intend to reply to the sneeze of other people if they praise Allah after sneezing. Number 8. If I sneeze, say the praise of Allah, and other people respond, I will offer another answer in return to theirs. Number 9. I shall act upon أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Number 10. I will keep كَلِّمُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ in mind. Number 11. I will think before I speak. Number 12. Using respectful language, I will speak in a mannerly tone. Number 13. I intend to act upon the sunnah of smiling as I converse. Number 14. I will avoid unnecessary statements. Number 15. I intend to avoid speaking loudly. Number 16. I intend to not use mocking words. Number 17. I shall not raise unneeded objections to the other person's discourse. Number 18. If the person I'm speaking with becomes angry, I will show gentleness in response. Number 19. I intend to avoid conversation of such lengthy duration which causes the other person to face difficulty. Number 20. I shall choose my words carefully and speak as little as possible. Number 21. During conversation, I shall not lie or exaggerate things. Number 22. I will not agree with everything the other person says without thinking carefully about what they have said. Number 23. I will avoid pretense and praising the other person for the sake of it. Number 24. I will listen to other people silently. Number 25. I shall not interrupt them. Number 26. When clearly hearing and understanding what they have said, I will avoid asking, "What did you say? Excuse me, or can you repeat that?" etc. I will also avoid any gestures that signal to them that I seemingly did not understand. Number 27. I shall avoid critiquing political issues or speaking of politics. Number 28. When I become aware that somebody who is not present is being spoken of badly, I will consider the definitions of backbiting and false accusation. Number 29. I shall refrain from backbiting and tale-telling or listening to either. Number 30. I shall say Tubu ilallah wherever needed. Number 31. I will invite towards righteousness wherever needed. Number 32. If it is possible to invite the other person to righteousness in person, I will write something down if possible or make use of gestures to this end. Number 33. I shall not involve myself in arguments. Number 34. I intend to refrain from anything that causes pain to the other person's feelings. Number 35. If they convey any good news to me, I will congratulate them. Number 36. If they express any worry to me, I will try my best to help them. Number 37, I intend to ask the person I am conversing with to convey my salam to others. Number 38, I intend to ask the person I am conversing with to make dua for my forgiveness without accountability. Number 39, I intend to give salam when we part ways. Important guidelines for Muslim homes. Firstly, let us observe two blessed hadith of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 1, when you are to answer the call of nature, neither face the Qibla nor have your back to it. Number 2, when answering the call of nature, if someone does not face the Qibla nor keep their back to it, one good deed is then written for them, and one sin is erased. When constructing a building, if architects and builders act upon the following guidelines with good intentions, they can earn a great deal of reward. Number 1. When building a WC, the toilet should be fitted in such a manner so that the person's face or back should face away from the Qibla by 45 degrees, although 90 degrees offers much more ease and convenience. For further clarification, consider the directions a person turns his face to when offering salam to both sides at the end of salah. The toilet should be facing any one of these two directions. It is mentioned in Dar al-Mukhtar, a famous work of Hanafi jurisprudence, facing the Qibla or having one's back to it when answering the call of nature is impermissible and haram. Number 2. The same guidelines given should be observed when fitting a shower. In this way, an unclothed person taking a shower can avoid facing or having their back to the Qibla. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi says, to face the Qibla in a state of nakedness is disliked and against prescribed manners. Number 3. A person's bed should be kept in such a manner so that their feet do not face Qibla when sleeping. The direction of the feet should be kept at least 45 degrees away from the Qibla. It is mentioned in Fatawa-i Shami, deliberately facing the feet towards Qibla is minorly disliked, i.e. makruh-e tanzihi. Number 4. If, for instance, the WC, shower or bed is positioned incorrectly, such that a naked person in the shower or a person answering the call of nature will have their back to the Qibla or face it, or a sleeping person's feet are facing it, regardless, they will have to keep this issue in mind and avoid it as much as possible. When showering, naked or using the toilet, they must try their best to avoid facing or having their back to the Qibla. Likewise, when sleeping, they must avoid pointing their feet towards Qibla. Invitation to Righteousness, abridged. We are the sinful slaves of Allah Almighty and devotees of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. No doubt, life is very short. We are drawing nearer to death with every passing moment. Soon, we will be buried in a dark grave. Our success lies in obeying Allah Almighty and acting upon the sunnah of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dawat-e-Islami, a religious movement of the devotees of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has a Madani qafila travelling to Masjid, which is found in of your locality. We have come to spread goodness and Islamic knowledge far and wide. There is even a dars taking place in the masjid as we speak. Kindly make your way to attend the dars at this very moment if possible. We have come to accompany you and take blessings from your company. Let us go together. If the attendees are not ready, say, if you cannot come right now, then kindly offer Maghrib Salah there. After Salah, there will be a sunnah inspiring speech, inshaAllah. Please listen to this bayan, and we ask Allah to bless us with the goodness of this world and the hereafter. Ameen. Who is the most excellent of all people? Once the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was sat on his sacred pulpit. A companion asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is the most excellent of all people? In reply, he explained, the most excellent from all people is he who recites the Quran in great amounts, he who is most pious, he who orders virtue and forbids evil the most, and he who maintains ties, meaning ties of kinship between family members, the most. 17 Madni pearls of knowledge related to the Imamah. Firstly, let us observe 6 blessed hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 1. 2 units of salah offered with an imama are greater than 70 units of salah offered without it. Number 2. Having an imama upon the cup is the difference between us and the polytheists. On the day of judgment, a Muslim will be granted a light for each coil of the imama he tied around his head. Number 3. Allah and His angels send salat upon those who wear imama on the day of Friday. Number 4. Salah offered with imama is equal to 1,000 virtues. Number 5. 1 Jumu'ah offered with an imama is equivalent to 70 offered without it. 6. Imamas are the crowns of the Arabs. So tie it, and your dignity will increase. Whoever ties an imama will earn 1 virtue for every coil. Number 7. Volume 16, page 303 of Bukhari Shariat states, tie an imama while standing and put on trousers while sitting. Whoever does the opposite of this, i.e. ties imama while sitting and puts on trousers while standing, will be afflicted with a disease for which there is no cure. Number 8. It is fitting for the first coil of the imama to be tied on the right side of the head. Number 9. The imama of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had a shimla, which would come upon his blessed back. It would sometimes come onto the right side of his blessed body. On some occasions, there were even 2 shimlas which hung between his blessed shoulder blades on his back. To have the shimla on the left side of the body is an act contrary to sunnah. Number 10. The width of the shimla should be at least 4 fingers or 1 handspan at most, and it should reach to around midway down the back when hanging. Number 11. Tie the imama standing and facing Qibla. 12 and 13. According to Sunnah, the imama should not be less than 2.5 yards in length, nor more than 6. It should be tied to resemble a dome in shape. Number 14 and 15. If a handkerchief is large enough in size to be coiled around the head multiple times and cover it, it will be considered an imama. It is disliked to use a small handkerchief from which only 1 or 2 coils can be tied around the head.
Number 16, rather than taking an imama off entirely when removing it, unfold it coil by coil. Number 17, Allama Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, Dastar Mubarak An Hazrat Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam Dar Akthar Safed Bood Wagahe Siyah Ahyanan Sabz, meaning the imama of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam was mostly white and sometimes black or green. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The name of the Prophet's blessed imama. Allama Yusuf Nabhani rahmatullahi explains how the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam named his imama and says, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam's imama was Sahab, which he gave to Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu. 30 Madani pearls of knowledge for imams working in masjids. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, the best of you are to give azan and the reciters are to lead prayers. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi says, Salah is an important act of worship found in Islam. There are many precautions needed when performing it. Such is its sensitivity. The honorable scholars have even declared Salah to be invalid if many facets of it are performed correctly, but just one facet is incorrect. Further says, an imam should be someone who attains purity correctly, who recites correctly, a Sunni with correct beliefs, and one who does not sin openly. Furthermore, he must not have anything within him which causes the followers in Salah to inwardly despise him, and he must be aware of rulings pertaining to purity as well as Salah. One of the best ways to serve Islam and earn pure sustenance is by working as an imam in a masjid. Be aware, however, that an imam is directly responsible for the salah of the followers. If he leads prayers incorrectly, he will have to carry the weight of all these improper salah, which may eventually lead him to the hellfire. It is absolutely mandatory for an imam to be aware of rulings pertaining to purity, salah, and other related issues. If possible, take an imam course at the Madani Markaz of Fizan-e Madina in Karachi. If this cannot be done, take the same course wherever you can, as the knowledge it contains is extremely important for all future and present imams. Alhamdulillah, the Department of Imams has also begun a 5-month Imam course and a 10-month Quran learning course. Number 1. Read and comprehend the first 4 parts of Bahar-e Shariat and take further guidance from scholars of the Ahl Sunnah. Number 2. The chapters of the Quran and other litanies recited in Salah should be read to a Sunni reciter and checked. This can also be done with Dawat-e Islami's test majlis. Number 3. If possible, become an imam without a salary, insha'Allah, as this is huge means of prosperity in this world and the hereafter. This should only be done if there is no financial concern for the person. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu an says, the imam and muazzin have equal reward to all those who prayed with them. Number 4. Without a serious reason, it is not suitable to request an increase in wage. Number 5. Leaving one masjid for another just for an increase in wage does not befit the nobility of an imam. Number 6. Do not take prepayment for your salary if possible. Also, do not accept any payment before the first day of your appointed employment, as there is no knowing when life will end and if a person shall be held to account for this. Number 7. Avoid asking for money or asking for loans. Number 8. Some imams prefer to be referred to as khatibs nowadays, and some muazzins like to be called second imam instead. Those who truly love the imam of the prophets sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam do not feel shame in calling themselves imams, and those who love his muazzin Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu an do not shy away from calling themselves a muazzin. Number 9. Inwardly and outwardly, dress yourself with piety, abstinence and God-consciousness. Continue to refrain from lying, backbiting and other sins. If you do not do so, you will be put to shame in the hereafter and people will think bad of you in this life. Number 10. Speaking excessively, laughing loudly and joking around lessens a person's dignity. Do not lose formality between yourself and the muqtadis, or the required manners between yourselves will diminish. Number 11. There is only destruction in pursuing worldly fame and esteem. Avoid chasing this at all costs. Number 12. If an imam is friendly, this itself is a great means of drawing people closer to Islam. Meet people after Salah and remain with them for a while thereafter. Do not speak of worldly issues. However, only speak of Islamic matters and do so in a calm, soft tone. In this way, others offering Salah will not be disturbed. Number 13. People will distance themselves from an imam who is not sociable or amicable, remains distant from people, or only meets those people with a turban and beard. Difficulties may arise whilst leading the prayers and people may refuse to cooperate. Number 14. Be loving and kind to the muazzin and caretakers of the masjid instead of throwing commands at them. Consider it a good opportunity to be involved in their work. Clean parts of the masjid and switch off any unnecessary lights yourself. Number 15. Help the caretakers of the masjid clean the wuzu area too. Insha'Allah, you will receive immense reward and create a loving atmosphere. Number 16. Never create tensions between the masjid administration. Be kind and well-mannered towards them and invite them to travel on a three-day Madani qafila. Number 17. Do not ruin the relations between any Sunni imam or administration. Do not make them oppose you by criticizing them. If, for example, you make a mistake, seek forgiveness immediately. If someone commits a shari mistake, correct and advise them with kindness. Number 18. Establish good relations with the imams and committees of nearby masjids. Draw them nearer to Dawat-e-Islami and invite them to travel on a three-day Madani qafila every month. Number 19. On the occasions of Jumu'ah and two Eids, read the khutbas of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh. The Islamic Research Center, part of Dawat-e-Islami, has compiled and published these khutbas in the book Fezane Khutbate Razaviya. Number 20. On the day of Jumu'ah, most people arrive when the khutbah starts. So, it is necessary to keep the nature of the people in mind. For example, establish the congregational prayer at the appointed time and ensure the speech is engaging and interesting. The speech should also include simple words, keeping the following narration in mind. Do not talk about difficult topics. كَلِّمِ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ i.e. converse in accordance to the intellect of the people. Usually, people prefer listening to the events of the awliya rahmatullahi alayhim and learning about the sunnah. Give people the mindset of preparing for the grave and the hereafter. At the end of the speech, encourage everyone to learn about the sunnah by travelling on a Madani qafila. Imams affiliated with the department of Masjid Imams should deliver a speech from the weekly booklet. Number 21. If the speakers are off before commencing the speech, khutbah, dua, etc., bring the microphone to your mouth before switching it on. Otherwise, there will be a lot of unpleasant background noise. Number 22. The scholars of Ahlus Sunnah should refrain from speaking about issues in which there is a difference of opinion. Number 23. If you are a talented scholar, give a daily dars from the Quran, from Kanzul Iman and Tafsir Sirat al-Jinan, and if qualified to do so, deliver dars of hadith too. Number 24. When referring to yourself with words of humility, look to the condition of your heart. Do not fall prey to lying and ostentation. Number 25. Make a habit of preparing the dars before delivering it. Number 26. Along with other Islamic books of knowledge, read Husam al-Haramain, Ihya al-Ulum, Minaj al-Abideen, etc. Number 27. Make a habit of delivering or listening to a dars from Fizani Sunnat on a daily basis. Number 28. A door-to-door invitation to your local masjid should occur on a weekly basis. Be sure to participate and witness the blessings of it. Number 29. Make a habit of travelling on a 3-day Madani Qafila every month. Insha'Allah, you will witness the blessings of this. Number 30. Hold yourself accountable by filling in the Pious Deeds booklet on a daily basis. Submit the booklet to a responsible brother of the Islahi Amal department when a new month begins. Insha'Allah, your piety will increase along with your love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Protection from the terrors of the Day of Judgment. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, there will be three categories of people who will be safe on the Day of Judgment. They will be upon mounds of musk, such that they will be free from accountability. Number 1. The one who recites the Quran for the pleasure of Allah and leads the people in prayer. The people are pleased with him too. Number 2. The one who invites others to prayer for the pleasure of Allah, i.e. the Mu'adhin. Number 3. The slave who brought happiness to his Lord and worldly master. The good that comes from calamities and 20 spiritual cures. Here are three narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 1. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, no fatigue, nor disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, but that Allah expiates some of his sins for that. Number 2. When the people afflicted with difficulties are rewarded on the Day of Judgment, the people who lived in ease will wish that their skin was cut with knives in the world. Number 3. Whoever is ill for a night remains patient and stays content with the will of Allah, he will be free of sin like the day he was born. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam visited Umme Saib and asked, "Why are you shivering?" She replied, "It is fever, and may it not be blessed by Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Do not speak ill of fever, for it expiates the sin of the children of Adam, just as the furnace removes the impurities of iron." Sayyiduna Attab bin Abi Rabah radiyallahu anh states that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said to me, "Shall I show you a woman from the people of paradise?" I said, "Yes." He said, "This Habishi lady came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, 'I suffer from epilepsy and my body becomes uncovered due to it. Please supplicate to Allah for me.'" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to her, "If you wish, be patient and you will have paradise. If you wish, I will ask Allah to grant you ease." She said, "I will remain patient," and added, "But I become uncovered. So please invoke Allah for me that I may not become uncovered." He then made dua to Allah for her. Sayyiduna Dahaq rahmatullahi alayhi states, "The one who is not afflicted with a calamity or worry at least once every 40 nights has no virtue in the court of Allah." My dear Muslims, calamities and illnesses are a great blessing. Allah Almighty forgives the sins and raises the ranks of those afflicted. Indeed, whether it is an illness or wound, anxiety or worry, a lack of sleep or mental illness, unhappiness caused by children or the absence of children, a lack of sustenance or a burden or debt, Muslims receive reward for their patience when facing difficulty. Adopt patience no matter the situation. Handling situations with impatience not only causes more problems and deprives you of reward. Remember, the most fatal illness is disbelief, and the illness of sins is dangerous too. Facing calamities, illnesses, and worries is a means of earning reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Whoever faces difficulty in his life or wealth, keeps it hidden and refrains from complaining to people, Allah Almighty will forgive him." Sayyiduna Shaykh Sadi rahmatullahi alayhi states, "A man was walking along the river bank when a cheetah attacked and wounded him severely. The people gathered around him and felt pity. The old man said, 'This is not a worrisome matter. I am thankful I have received a bodily injury. What would I do if I was afflicted with the illness of sins?'" Number 1. Increase in sustenance. After performing the Isha prayer, face the Qibla in a state of wudu and recite Ya Musabbib al-Asbab 500 times and recite Salat upon the Prophet 11 times before and after. This should be recited in a place where there is no barrier between your head and the sky, such that you should not wear a hat too. Islamic sisters should recite this in a place where non-mahrams cannot see her. Insha'Allah, you will no longer have a lack of sustenance. Number 2. Write Ya Allahu 101 times on a paper, make an amulet and tie it around your arm. You will have a passion for earning halal income through a permissible means of work. Number 3. Recite Ya Razzaqu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Salamu 112 times after every prayer for 7 days and then supplicate. Insha'Allah, you will be free from illness and poverty. Number 4. Protection from theft. Recite Ya Jalilu 10 times over your wealth, money, etc. Insha'Allah, it will not be stolen. Number 5. Marriage. The women who are not married, or if the engagement breaks, should recite Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram 312 times and supplicate for a pious partner. Insha'Allah, you will be married soon and have a pious husband. Number 6. Those who are unmarried should write Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyumu 143 times. Make an amulet and tie it around their arm or wear it around their neck. They will be quickly married and have a pleasant family environment. Number 7. Male child. Reciting Ya Mutakabbiru 10 times before having relations will make you a father to a son. Number 8. A pregnant woman should place her index finger around her navel and recite Ya Matinu 70 times. Continue doing this for 40 days. By the bounty of Allah, you will be blessed with a son. There is a cure to every illness in this action. Regardless of the illness, if a patient performs this action, he will be relieved of his illness, insha'Allah. There is no need to make direct contact with the skin. You can touch the clothing covering the navel. Number 9. The husband should place his hand on the stomach of his pregnant wife and say, إِنْ كَانَ ذَكَرًا فَقَدْ سَمَّيْتُهُ مُحَمَّدًا. Translation, if it is a boy, I name him Muhammad. InshaAllah, a boy will be born. If you know the meaning of the Arabic text while saying this, there is no need to read the translation. Otherwise, both the Arabic and its translation should be read. Number 10. Protection from an enemy. Reciting La ilaha illallah in abundance whilst walking, sitting, etc. is a means of protection from an enemy. InshaAllah. Number 11. Finding a missing person, etc. and for every need. Whilst having complete trust in Allah, recite Ya Rabbi Musa, Ya Rabbi Kaleem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in abundance, whilst walking, sitting, etc., regardless of whether you are in a state of wuzu or not. Recite salats upon the Prophet during this time too. You will find the missing person, gold, money, car, etc., insha'Allah. This action is also beneficial for fulfilling other needs. Number 12. Spiritual cure for magic. Write La ilaha illallah 41 times, coat it in plastic and sew cloth around it. Tie it around your arm or wear it around your neck. InshaAllah, the effects of the magic will disappear. Number 13. Spiritual cure for magic. Recite La ilaha illallah 100 times over the person affected by magic, or place it in water and drink from it. InshaAllah, the effects of the magic will disappear. Number 14. Lack of sleep. If you cannot sleep, recite La ilaha illallah 11 times and blow over yourself. InshaAllah, you will fall asleep. Number 15. Spiritual cure for cancer. Recite Surah Maryam over water whilst reciting the Salats of Ibrahim, otherwise known as Durood-e Ibrahim, 11 times before and after. The patient should drink this water for the entire day. Add more water whenever necessary. Continuously perform this action for 40 days. inshallah, the patient will be cured. Someone else can recite over the water too. It does not have to be the same person every time. Number 16. Spiritual cure for fever. Write Ya Ghafuru 3 times on a piece of paper. Coat it in plastic and sew cloth over it. Tie it around your arm or wear it around your neck. Inshallah, you will be relieved of the fever. Number 17. Spiritual cure for hepatitis. Recite Surah Quraysh 21 times along with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim each time. Recite Salat upon the Prophet 11 times before and after. Ensure to recite this over Zamzam or water in which there are a few drops of Zamzam water. Drink from this on a daily basis in the morning, afternoon and evening. Inshallah, you will be cured within 40 days. Reciting over the water once is sufficient. Add more water whenever necessary. Number 18. Spiritual cure for bladder stones. Write La ilaha illallahu 46 times on a piece of paper and put it in water. By drinking this water, inshallah, you will be cured from bladder stones. Duration of treatment until you are cured. Number 19. Spiritual cure for illnesses related to the heart and chest. Reciting La ilaha illallahu 75 times over a child with a hole in his heart, someone with anxiety or other illnesses of the heart or chest is beneficial. Inshallah. Number 20. Spiritual cure for all illnesses. Those with chronic conditions should recite Ya Mu'idu continuously. Allah will grant you good health. Look closely at your teeth, inshallah, with the intention of gaining reward. If your teeth are dirty or yellow, it is a request that you accept these beneficial Madani pearls. Having unclean teeth is a cause of dislike for others. Having dirty teeth when meeting others does not leave a good impression. The one who chews paan etc. is paying money to ruin the beauty of his teeth and be afflicted with mouth ulcers and cancer. Clean your mouth thoroughly by using a miswak. Make a habit of removing bits of food from between your teeth. After eating or drinking tea, etc., rinse your mouth thoroughly with water for a few minutes. The inside of your mouth and your teeth will be washed to some extent. Your mouth and throat should be well cleaned before going to sleep. Otherwise, your teeth will gather dirt and you will develop problems with your throat. If there are pieces of food in the mouth, it can cause bad breath and germs from the food will enter the stomach and cause further illnesses. The odorful gases of the stomach rise while sleeping. This causes bad breath. When you wake up, immediately use miswak and rinse your mouth. Inshallah, the foul smell will be removed. A beneficial dentifrice. Place a sufficient amount of baking soda and salt in a bottle. This is a beneficial powder for the teeth. If you apply this to your teeth daily, the dirt on your teeth will be removed, inshallah. If you feel an inflammation in your gums or anywhere else in your mouth, try using a smaller amount. If the difficulty persists, try another method of cleaning your teeth. Madani pearl. Every form of cleanliness is a sunnah and encouraged by Sharia. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.